Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We cast our eyes east of the continent now to a key partner in terms of trade and cultural exchanges and relations with South Africa. Kenya. A few weeks ago, they were in the headlines on the back of the protest action regarding the disgruntlement of citizens regarding the finance bill. And given that this has now left the president as well as his leaders trying to find alternative ways of raising funds to pay off the debts, Moody's, as a ratings agency, has come out to further downgrade the Kenya's debt into junk status. To help us contextualize the story, not only the economics, but the politics and how it impacts business and the social aspect, we join on the line by founding director at Tribe Africa Advisory, Dr. Ruthendo Hidwingu. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Ruthendo. Always, always a delight to speak to you.
And the feeling is mutual, Gugu. Thank you for having me on your show and a very good evening to you and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. I'm always excited to speak to you about the opportunities across the continent, but we're also well aware that we do have a few challenges. And anyone who's read your book would be well aware that you often describe these challenges and the kind of leadership that's required. I guess as we zone into Kenya, some interesting dynamics that we just need to reflect on before we talk about the Moody's downgrade, the political changes, 2 years in for President Ruto, and of course, now finding itself in what appears to be an economic quagmire impacting its society. Your thoughts on the economy there so far?
Yeah, it's a massive challenge. I think President Ruto has found himself between a rock and a hard place. As you're aware, Gugu, 60% of Kenya's revenues are currently going to service in debt. The specific tax bill that he was trying to impose was supposed to increase tax revenue by about 2.7 billion. But bearing in mind that the overall tax burden of Kenya stands at 80 billion, and a good portion of that is obviously owed to the IMF, which is related to the downgrade. But to cut a long story short, he owes money, or the country owes money, and usually you want to get this revenue out of growth in GDP. The easier route is raising taxes, and obviously it's caused the uproar and the political and social unrest.
And this is a concern because I even believe from the debt burden that we also need to look at it in terms of the full context that Kenya is an economy that has been quite competitive. But I guess like many other African states, still guilty of the first sin, as what they refer to it, taking on debt. Right?
You've put it so biblically true, Gugu. But, you know, if you look at the cause of the debt, you know, where it came from, it's actually said because it's a dilemma that most African countries face. It actually goes back to President Uhuru's period when President Ruto was actually his deputy. And it came out of investment in infrastructure. They spent a large part of that money went to building infrastructure. And one of the most significant projects was an 11,000-kilometer road from Mombasa, which is a port in Kenya, right to Nairobi. So you can see the sense behind it was, okay, let's invest in infrastructure. That infrastructure will contribute to industrialization. Industrialization obviously contribute positively to fiscal growth. But the downside of that business never came through. And the reality of that came is because of, to a large extent, the Ukraine wars that have happened from a geopolitical perspective. There have been an economic impact, as well as other challenges that have happened with regards to just global dynamics from an economic perspective. So out of that, and I'm not taking away fault from the leaders themselves in terms of there could have been areas for government expenditure to be reduced, but there was a domino effect which has resulted to, okay, I've got debt, I have to pay it back to the IMF. The IMF is not happy because I can't implement my policies, so it's caught in between a rock and a hard place. And that's the dilemma that he faces.
Definitely. See, I always pay attention when you speak because I remember that being a key reference during your previous talks. But the big question is what happens now, Ruthendo? A downgrade from Moody's, which just adds further strain to the economy. This just makes their debt even more expensive now to pay off.
It does. And they've got multiple debts. I mean, they've also got Eurobond-related debts, which they're not behind on prepayments, but they've got implications. The debt, you know, I was listening to another report, and believe it or not, Kenya has got the same debt review from Moody's, similar to Nigeria and Egypt. The only difference between Nigeria and Egypt that the economic forecast for them is positive, whereas Kenyans is not. So I think the challenge for Ruto is, look, as I said before, we've always had these debt scenarios from an African perspective. He's going to have to make some hard decisions in terms of where he can reduce government expenditure. If industrialization and growth is not where it should be, you have to then save. It's like your household. If you don't have enough money going around, you see, where can I cut down? Am I going to reduce DSTV? Am I going to stop buying those expensive shoes or clothes, et cetera, et cetera? So it's going to be a big drive on austerity. And that in itself is a challenge. And does the government of and the leadership of Kenya have the political willpower as well as deal with the social instability that comes out of it? That's yet to be seen. So unfortunately, it's between a rock and a hard place. And there's no easy answer in terms of what route he takes, Google.
What are the unforeseen consequences if this is not managed accordingly?
I think, you know, the problem you have with Africa, we've all have talked about the demographic dividend being a positive. Here's an extreme example of, yes. It's actually not an extreme example, it's a sample of the consequences of not dealing with the demographic dividend, of having a Gen Z that is impacted negatively. So the chances are, unfortunately, more social unrest. You may change the leaders, which could be a result of this. I doubt it, but even if there's leadership change, there's still structural reform programs that have to be implemented that will bring the required change. You know, the debt that the IMF has on them is not impossible to solve. I mean, I look at Zambia. If you remember, there was a time Zambia owed 2/3 of its economy to China. And somehow it played its cards right. Between China and America, they came right. Not fully out, but there was a solution that was provided. It's not impossible, but I think also IMF has to come to the party. The multilateral guys have to come to the party, because to a certain extent, they are seeing the consequences of what Ruto has done in terms of dealing with the social pressures. And I think there's a responsibility on them as well to say, okay, under this situation, if human beings are the most important thing, what is it that we can do? So I think there's a certain level of responsibility there, but a large part of it lies on the government of Kenyan leadership.
100%. Very valid point that you raise around the demographic dividend, which could also used to be translated as the youth bulge, if it's not, I guess, addressed accordingly. I'm intrigued as well, Dr. Rutendo. Your work typically has been around consultancy, helping big businesses grow, seek opportunities on the continent, but also assisting with trade relations. And this is the interesting conundrum for President William Ruto and Kenya itself. Strong ties to some extent that have been criticized with the US, but China has also been a significant investor in that market. How do you see, and this is unfortunate question, but how do you see Kenya positioning itself within the global economy to enhance trade? Does it need to align itself with specific partners? And even on that note, how does this further then foster confidence for the private sector to keep investing in that market?
You know, he's been a blue-eyed boy, I believe, in terms of external, in terms of being a global player. And I'm speaking to with regards to President Ruto, because if you recall, recently he was in the U.S. and there was a specific interview on CNN where he was challenged by, I've forgotten his name, I call him the Bruce Whitfield equivalent of
Richard Quest
of CNN. Richard Quest, jolly
That's
good. Thank you for the clarity. And he was challenged by Richard Quest, and Richard Quest said to him, you know, China or America, you know, who would you prioritize? And he came across very well, and he answered, and he specifically said, we're open for business. We are focused on going forward, and we're not going to compromise on quality or politics. In other words, geoeconomics prioritizes geopolitics. I've talked about a deficit of a debt burden of 80 billion. About 10% of that is related to borrowings from China. So, but having also said that, I think I spoke earlier in the year about a big trade deal that Kenya secured with the EU. In terms of sending value-added agricultural products to the EU market in about 30 EU countries. So all of this I'm highlighting, Google, just highlighting the positive relations and opportunities that East African country has done from a global perspective. They've positioned themselves very well, and over and above that, great tourist destination. The reality is then, you know, you have to balance that off in terms of what's happening locally. You have to balance that off in terms of is the ordinary man eating? Is the ordinary man being able to, or woman being able to appreciate the return on investment that the economy should be having? And that's what's not happening. From a global perspective, they are well positioned. But obviously, once you start getting your ratings moving from a B3 to a CAA1, in terms of a Moody's rating, what it then implies is that investors, or for future investments and forecasts, will show guys are not as excited to invest in Kenya, which is something that it desperately needs and which the continent desperately needs. So that's the challenge that exists.
To close off with Dr. Rutendo, are there any lessons for an economy like South Africa and our peers here to learn from Kenya?
Look, a number of lessons. I think for me, the underlying challenge that we've got, and I always say that, you know, by 2050, Africa will have 40% of the world's youth based in Africa. So we're going to have this high demographic dividend of capable people, young men and women like myself and you. Let us put ourselves in that category, Google. Yes. Let's claim it and frame it. But I think the most important thing is that if that does not translate to people having jobs and people living, being able to afford life and managing the Gini coefficient, et cetera, then we'll have repetitions of what's happened in Kenya and what has happened in Nigeria, and it has happened in North Africa. And yes, the reality is that let's learn from our counterparts and allow the Gini or the government of coalition to take lessons learned and apply that strategically from an economic, political, and social perspective. That's the grace that we've got at this point in time from a South 100%. African perspective.
Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. This does remind me of the Arab Spring we saw in Egypt a few years ago, with more political links. Even fees must fall here locally in South Africa, but really does show that the interlink between politics, economics, and society lies very close to each other. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
Thank you for having me, Gugu, and a good night to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. That's Dr. Rutendo Hidwingi. He is a phenomenal consultant, author as well of two amazing books, Reflections of a Son of the Soil, as well as Rumble in the Jungle, Reloaded, typically sharing some business around the context of doing business across the African continent, joining us this evening and giving us some perspective on the update that we hear, Moody's cutting Kenya's debt further into junk status. Rutendo Hidwingi is also founding director at Tribe Africa Advisory.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.